is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Green Genie SEO, Rainmaker PR, Hamilton Film Studios, and our newest sponsor, Palma Pasta. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
What can you say, really? All you can say is,
jinx.
I'm interested in your take, but I would just like to begin by offering...
I want to take something.
I know, all the sports guys. What's Fred's take? I just want to offer my sincerest good wishes for you... On the morning after another in a series of just disappointing hockey games. And I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry.
No, Howard. I'm sorry.
No, no. I'll start by saying it's only sports.
Yeah.
But having said that, I'm lying in bed last night thinking, you know, I'm a 62-year-old man. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I so attached to something that really has nothing to do with me other than... recreation.
Sure.
Something to do, something to watch. I like, you know, it's my team, all that aside. I mean, really, the long and the short of it.
What? I
know. Why do I feel this way? And then it hit me, because other years have come and gone, and I took it easier. There was just so much promise for this team to have it all end in the same way.
Yeah.
It just, it bothers me more this year than it ever has, to be honest.
Well, so, that's what I'm sorry for.
No, I understand that, and I appreciate that. You're a very compassionate man.
Well,
I was cheering for your team to win,
right?
Because they're not my team. The way that you were happy for me when Tiger Woods came back and won everything,
right?
First, let's check in with these people. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Baby Tom. Tom.
Aw, Baby Tom. Sorry for your team too, Baby Tom.
Ready? I'm here for you, buddy.
I think we're all here for Fred, Tom. Yeah. Tom, Fred, do you feel better knowing that Tom's there for you, too?
No, I do. I really do. The only thing that concerns me, I probably don't need the support that Tom and other people are. Well, you shouldn't need it.
Yeah.
But what is it about? Well, I mean, you went through with Tiger. You experienced the highs. You experienced the lows. It just, as a Maple Leaf fan, you were always experiencing the lows.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, Freddie, it's before that game even started. I knew they were going to lose. But go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
Freddie, what's it like, you know, to see a win or some sort of success? Because I've never experienced it with this team. I can't handle it anymore.
Well, I was 10 years old when they last won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but the last time they would have advanced, was that 93? They got past the first round?
93, 99, 2002, they got to the conference final.
Well, they got to okay.
Yeah.
So, Tommy, you would have, how old were you, would you have been the last time they got to the conference final, pal?
I would have been 6.
2002?
No, 2002, so I would have been 15. Yes, I remember that, but it's game 7. It's the first round. It's
no, I know.
Just, oh, my. This
Tom,
just doesn't end.
And here's the thing, too. I'm in my 60s. When I was 10 years old and they won the Stanley Cup, I wasn't really super into hockey. you know, my dad and my brother watched the Leafs, and I would sit there, but I wasn't. At 10, you're not looking at the stats, and, you know, you don't have great passion for a particular player, so to speak. So I still hadn't really put my claws into hockey at that point when they last won the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
When I became, since I become a passionate fan, it's just been in a, you know, an S show.
Tom, I would like to give you my take on it because I watched Game 6 and Game 7. Every minute of it. In fact, I watched more of Game 6 than Freddie did. He just shut it off. I stuck with
more of Game 7, too.
Yeah, I stuck with the team for the entire 60 dreadful minutes. Here's what I would say. And I said to Fred this morning when I gave him a virtual hug. You know, last night, if last night was a microcosm of the frustration that Leaf fans have felt, I feel for you guys, because that was a frustrating... The whole thing was frustrating, but if that was a microcosm of your team, I can see how it's continually frustrating, because they look... Like, here's my point. If they looked like that was as good as they could do, then you'd go, aw, good for you, young fellas. But they just look like they should be better than they are. And that's frustrating.
They had... Freddie shows up for six games, plays great in net, Gardner's all right, and then everything just falls.
No. And Fred, that first goal he let in yesterday, that was a typical Leaf luck goal.
That's right. But the point is, it was only a little opening, but it found the opening. And yeah, the problem is, throughout that series, and to make no excuses for the Leafs, they got zero breaks. The only break they got was that goal interference call. You know, you watch other highlights, other games. You know, there's a scramble around the net, and a guy shoots, and it goes off. One guy hits another guy and goes in. The Leafs got none of that stuff.
Yeah.
But again, not to make excuses for them. The team has no bite. They have no teeth, and they're not coached very well.
But you're not making excuses. You're just explaining. That,
right.
And that's why I say it's a microcosm of your team, that little opening. And they were playing good at the time. They were Cherry said this. They said it after the first period. They outplayed Boston in the first period, except for the fact that they got a couple of goals scored on them, one of which shouldn't have gone in.
You know, outplaying the team, what good does that do you? You know, it's all about the scoreboard,
scoreboard
is never kind to us. But again, when you win two games on the road and then host prior to Game 6 and then host Game 6, mm-hmm. there shouldn't even have been a Game 7.
No, and they played two perfect road games and then blew it at home.
Yeah, and the thing is, Freddie Anderson, he's a good goalie, I guess, but whenever there's a big game, the Washington series last year, when there's a big game, like that third goal last night was ridiculous. You can't give that up.
I know.
You just can't do that in a 2-1 game in Game 7. But he does that all the time. And they're not coached very well. That's got to be addressed, too, because this team does not respond to that guy.
Hey, Tommy, you're how old now, 32?
32.
And, well, just think, you've only got 30 more years of frustration to catch up to the Fred man.
Mm-hmm.
30 more years of this.
I think I'm going to use that line that I saw once in the obituary that said, I want the Leafs to be my pallbearer so they can let me down one last time.
Yeah.
All right.
You know,
all right there.
And
Game 6.
And I mentioned my brother, too, like several years ago. He gave up. He doesn't watch the Leafs anymore. And his thing is, when it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, give me a call.
Yeah, give me a shout.
I'll watch it. And that's the way it's become now. This one is so bothersome because of the build-up and then the letdown. I don't know, going into next year, there's nothing they could do this summer that would get you pumped up for next year. There really isn't.
They signed Tavares.
I know.
They re-signed Nylander. They got one of the best players in the league, the other kid, Matthews.
Yeah, and then they signed Jake Muzzin. But let's just look at this. Boston really didn't change from last year. Leafs add Tavares. They add Muzzin. All the young guys are another year older.
Yeah.
The Bruins have Chara. He's getting old. A few of the other guys a little long in the tooth. Tuukka Rask isn't supposed to be what he was before. All that thrown on the table, and it's the same result. How do you explain that?
They just looked... I don't know if you could do this analysis like pound for pound, but pound for pound, Boston just looked bigger, stronger, and more bite.
Yeah, they want it more.
Tommy, we got to go, but all the best to you, young fella. You, are you back living in the city now with your family?
Yeah. Yeah, back living in the city. Moved a couple of weeks ago.
Well, so drop by and say hi to the old guys sometime.
Well, all right, I guess I will. And, Freddie, I'll send you an invite to the support group.
Okay. I'll be there. Is there booze?
Yeah, there better be. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you know, you talked about not being, you know, when you were 10 years old and you thought, you know, there were six teams and the Leafs would just keep winning one every so often. Mm-hmm. You'd have never known that your whole life would be waiting for that to happen again.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about you too last night, about your allegiance or Tom's or anyone's allegiance to the franchise. And really, that's what it is. Because every year the players change. Mm-hmm. So you're... heart is with the team, not so much the individual players, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, inexplicably, like, it's weird because, like you said, you added a bunch of different players. It's not the same team that frustrated you 10 years ago. It's now a new team of frustration. It's just weird how the franchise has attracted or does attract this kind of behavior. How else do you explain it?
I don't know. It's a great question. And, you know, years previous, you know, they get to the conference final and they lose. It's disappointing, but you think that was a good run. Maybe next year a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
And then other teams miss the playoffs. It's digestible because you know they're a lousy team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, against Washington 2 years ago, they make the playoffs unexpectedly and they're eliminated. You think, hey, we're on our way up.
Yeah.
So this is year three now. They should be on, especially against this Boston team, which is a great team. But again, all the things that I mentioned that took place was a formula to get to take the next step, which hasn't happened. Let me give you something that happened last night that just shows you frustrating for Leaf fans. San Jose and Vegas last night, Game 7. With 10 minutes to go in the third period, it's 3-0 Vegas. This is in San Jose. For some reason, a guy in Vegas, Eakins, I forget whatever his name was, takes a 5-minute major for cross-checking a guy.
Mm.
San Jose scores 4 goals on the 5-minute penalty.
What? Come on!
I'm telling you, took a 4-3 lead.
Wow.
And then Vegas ties it up with just seconds to go, forces it into overtime. San Jose ends up winning and saving the league the embarrassment of having an expansion team win the Stanley Cup, but that's another matter.
This is their second year in Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're gone because I think that's embarrassing for the league. But anyway, San Jose wins it in overtime. But can you imagine that happening for a Leaf fan?
Yeah.
You know, it would go the other way. Boston would have scored a shorthanded goal in the 5-minute major.
Well, it's just, you know, it's funny you say that because when it was 2-0, second period was the best period for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they did you watch it, by the way?
I did.
When they made it 2-1, that was the time when I thought, oh, well, they if they tie this up, now we're back to, we're start again, and now it's a new game.
And they did press for a few minutes.
I told you, that was their, that 5 or 6 minutes, again, as an observer of the game, not a Leaf fan. But that was frustrating because they were the better team.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said to you, it would be different if they were crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how far they got.
Mm-hmm.
But they looked real. At times, they looked so good. And then, again, I'm not laughing at you, but just the frustration of it, just the puck doesn't bounce their way. They could have scored 5 times in that 6 minutes. There were a couple of shots. Matthews, Tavares again.
Mm-hmm.
A few times where you're going, well, this is it. Let's go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm 2 games into this observation. Mm-hmm. But remember, I only watch it when it matters. And when it matters, they just don't look like... There was no time in the third period I thought they were going to win.
See, something went wrong around the new year. They were one of the best teams in the league. And then over from New Year's on, they were one of the worst teams in the league.
How do you explain that?
And they never really recovered. I mean, they won 3 games in this Boston series, but they should win 3 games against that team. They should have won that series. So this isn't just... This started... Around the new year, this started to fall apart. For whatever reason... Yeah. And it just did.
Mm-hmm. So 2 days ago, I was golfing with some guys, and the four of us, there were 2 Leaf fans, and one guy, turns out, like me, grew up loving Boston. And the reason I mentioned your allegiance to the franchise, not so much this team, but you, it's the franchise that you have an affection for. So this guy, Jeff, and I were talking about being Boston fans, and we could name, as a fun little game, name all the players from the 1968 to the 72. Like, I knew all the players.
Right.
Sanderson,
right,
all these guys. So I have a childhood affection for the Boston Bruins.
Even though they never won Stanley Cups.
They won a couple. 72. They won a couple.
72, right.
Yeah, 71.
That was it. No, 72.
They won two.
They won two back then?
Yeah,
oh,
in the space of a few years, they won two.
All right, I thought it was one.
Sean, look it up, please. My point is, I have an affection, a childhood affection, for the team the way you have for the Leafs. But there's nobody on that Boston team other than Chara that I really was aware of. And now this goaltender they have, he's pretty good. And
who the Leafs literally gave to Boston. Do you know that? Tuukka Rask. He was a Leaf property, and they traded him for Andrew Raycroft.
Yeah.
This journeyman goalie who had one good season. So they trade Tuukka Rask to Boston. Where's Andrew Raycroft?
I don't know. Golfing somewhere.
I think
somewhere.
He works for two men in a truck.
Anyway, so I'm sitting there watching last night thinking, well, this is for you. It's your childhood affection that has, carried you through all these years because the team keeps changing. And yet, the weird thing is, as I said, how do you explain the franchise stays the same?
I don't know. It's like a curse. I said, all that. Did I mention this on the show, or was I saying it to someone else?
Phil.
All that horrible, seedy stuff that took place at Maple Leaf Gardens in the 80s.
You were saying that to me last week, yeah.
Is that it? Is that the curse?
Yeah, if you believe in that, no.
I don't, but I'm just saying, that's something that maybe somebody could throw it if you buy into that.
Well, they could have won in the 70s then, if the curse started in the 80s.
Was it two or one?
Yeah. It was 69 to 70 and 71 to 72. Yeah, they're not back to back.
No, but they won a couple of Stanley Cups. And they had won, by the way, the first time. Hey, by the way, I should also say, welcome to show, everybody. Welcome to show.
Yeah.
So how about that tie, don't
you? Our guest today, Tony Clement. Let that sink in. Tony Clement, former MP, former
MPP, my former MPP.
MPP?
Yeah, Brampton West Mississauga.
And MP?
Perry Sound Muskoka.
And wasn't he also minister of something?
Oh, yeah, he was a bunch of ministers.
A bunch of ministers?
Stephen Harper
and
Cabinet.
Tony Clement will be in this studio after 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Be nice to see Tony.
Mm-hmm. An old friend of the show.
And ask him a few questions.
I was thinking about how we would start the interview process, and I was reminded of that moment when Jay Leno had Hugh Jackman on his show after Hugh had been caught with a, he'd been caught doing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Hugh Grant.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Hugh Grant was one of the biggest movie stars in the world. Mm-hmm. And Leno gets him on the couch, and after the introduction dies down, he just looks at him and goes, "What were you thinking?"
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I put on our Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
What'd you put?
I just said, appearing tomorrow live on the Humble and Fred Show, Tony Clement answers the question, "What were you thinking?"
Oh, yeah. That's good. I didn't see that. But that's really, where do you start? You say, here's a guy, he had some issues. Let's chitty-chat about
it. And obviously, he wants to talk about it, so, part of the recovery, I guess. But anyway, one other thing I will say on the Leafs. Back in 2002-99, those teams had Darcy Tucker and Gary Roberts. Those were very likable teams. And they weren't necessarily expected to win the Stanley Cup, but they gave it a good shot. Actually played above their heads. This current Leaf team is somewhat unlikable. You know what I mean? They are. Just the style of player they have and sort of the attitude when you watch them skating back into their own end. They just don't seem to care enough. And guys like Tucker and Roberts and Dougie Gilmore watching this team must just cringe. Like, guys, you're making multiples of millions more than we did.
Right.
And you care so much less. It's Yeah, they're unlikable. It's like it's going to take a while for them to win back my love.
Is it like they're doing us a favor just by showing up?
I don't know.
Well, you say it'll take a while for them to win back Freddie's affection?
Well, I just don't know. After all they did in this offseason and then falling flat, I don't know what could happen this summer to excite me. Who knows? You know, it's the healing period.
Well, I was going to say, give yourself the summer. Don't make any rash decisions.
Well, there still might.
When they come back.
They're not going away.
No. I'll tell you what else isn't going away. The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan. It's Canada's number one, ranked number one for employee benefits. Now, we've been talking about this for some time. If you haven't figured out that this is the way to go for your small business, I mean, come on. Simple, stable, and smart. Don't add to someone else's profit. The Chamber Plan is a not-for-profit program. All surpluses stay in the plan. And what that does for you small business people is help lower your premiums. Give your employees more for less. Health and dental premiums are a deductible business expense and a tax-free benefit for your employees. Chamberplan.ca. Chamberplan.ca.
Chamberplan.ca.
Yeah, man.
And how about Gig Sky?
How about it?
You can get a hotspot now at a $70 savings. Now just $129.99 with the summer traveling season coming up. Hey, just think of that. You buy some very reasonable, well, cheap data, and then with the hotspot, all those traveling with you can log on and enjoy the benefits of that cheap data, which can be very expensive while traveling. Go to humbleandfredradio.com and click on the Gig Sky badge or go to gigsky.com and read about the Humble and Fred hotspot deal. All right?
Hotspot.
Ooh. Gig Sky, they got all the answers. They must be happy at the Gig Sky offices this morning. San Jose came back and won that game, trailing, as I said, 3-0 midway through the third. Very exciting.
Yeah, Gig Sky has two properties that they sponsor, the San Jose Sharks and the Humble and Fred Show.
There you go.
How you like them apples?
Would you like the way to Humble and Fred?
Them apples, Philly. disappointing. And again, it was weird yesterday. I looked forward to that game all day. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to have a night in between visiting and girlfriend Rachel, who is coming over this evening. Phil, I'll be making her a delightful dinner.
Lovely.
Little dinner and some cozy time. So I looked forward in a strange way to watching that game.
Well, that's great.
It's my city and I wanted to. It's Boston.
It's a big event.
It was a big event and enjoyed the first 10 minutes of it. Then after that, I started. At one point, I caught myself yelling at the TV. Not quite yelling, but going, "Come on, guys." And then I looked at Stan and went, "Oh, this is weird." Oh, yeah. So I said that. A couple points, I was getting frustrated.
But that's interesting. You, as a Bruins fan, you actually wanted the Leafs to do well. But you're not that attached. Right?
No, the Bruins were my childhood team, but I've lived here 30 years.
Right.
And because of you and all my Leaf buddies and the fact that I was just curious to see how they would do. It's game 7. How do you not watch that?
And, you know, the math is awful. Like, there's 31 teams in the league, so if everybody took a turn winning the Stanley Cup,
right,
it would come once every 32 years. And the Leafs aren't part of that mix because they're so incompetent. Mm-hmm. It could go 100 years easily. It could for a lot of franchises.
Yeah.
We're the new Chicago Cubs, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
In that manner.
Yeah.
But I just don't. Yeah. And you haven't answered it yet, and I don't think there is an answer for it. Mm-hmm. But if teams change every year, how is it systemic that the team universally has bad breaks? I only watched 2 games, and there were bad breaks. First goal last night stung, I think, because the team came out. They looked great, especially for a team on the road.
Right.
And I kept thinking, you know, they just need to score. If they score early, they take the crowd out of the game, and it's a quiet arena. Instead, it was just the opposite. Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
I have an answer for that? I don't know. I have no answer for that.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's our luck.
Well,
and you have this collection of great, I shouldn't say great, potentially great players, and I just don't think they're being handled properly either. So, I think that's going to be the big one. In the next couple of weeks, I think you're going to see him go.
See you, Babs.
I'm still not mature enough not to find the fact that the coach's name, Babcock, still makes me laugh.
Babcock,
and one of their players' name is Hyman. I just find that hilarious to me. I'm sorry. I'm not as mature as you.
Well, you got, you know what, the Leafs, you know, that's the thing. They should have kept the Babcock away from the Hyman.
That's right.
The Hyman's on defense.
Hyman breaking in.
Red line.
All right, listen, we got to go. We're just getting started. Tony Clement and the retirement Sherpa. It's Humble and Fred Radio live on Funny 820, Canada's comedy superstation, and at humbleandfredradio.com.
There's never a wish better than this when you only got 100 years to live.
Welcome back. You know how we do. It's Humble and Fred. Coming at you. Coming at you. Hey, Phil. Retirement Sherpa time. Tim Niblett. He's hanging out in the Raymond James, Florida offices. Mr. Niblett, of course, is a certified angel. What? What else?
A member of Raymond James, or Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. He's an angel.
When are you coming home there, Timberly?
Hitting the road Friday, going to Tallahassee, visit family, and then Gator and I will be hopefully there in time for the snow on Sunday.
Excellent. Is that true? Is the forecast really calling for snow here on Sunday? Come on, you guys.
No, I'm going to be in Burley Falls on Sunday, and it's a high of 4 with mixed precipitation, including snow. Hello.
Hello.
And that will be April 28th.
Mm-hmm. I know Tim put here on our talking points, he's like, hopefully a Leafs victory will be part of our discussion. Did you endure that mess last night?
I did. I started watching a mock NFL draft after the first period. I just couldn't handle it anymore, but I got reeled back in and pretty well saw every minute of the debacle.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Tim, even I watched it. I've only watched 2 complete Leaf games this year, Game 6 and Game 7, and I don't know how you guys do it. Mm-hmm. It was dreadful.
Well, Fred's been too nice to say it, Howard, but maybe you're the curse. They lost both those games.
Oh, maybe you're like Drake.
Right. That's right.
You're our Drake.
Yeah, I've somehow turned the 50-year franchise around. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you, I said to Freddie this morning, I said, if that's what it's been like for you the last half a century, you're a stronger man than me, because I would have bailed on this team a long time ago.
And I totally agree, other than, as I said, I lie in bed last night wondering, at my age, why do I feel like this? Don't be ridiculous. But again, this one hurts the most because of the expectations, because of the so-called talent level they have now. You expected more. Other years, you haven't expected much, and they might surprise you a bit. Not enough to win, but you can sort of live with it. This is ridiculous. Anyway. Timmy.
Hey, Tim.
Tim, let's talk about good things like money.
Let's talk about RRSPs versus versus TFSAs.
Well, it's obviously a day closer to the tax deadline for filing, the end of the month. And one thing people don't do enough is really, even advisors sometimes when I look at other people's portfolios, is just align all the investments, the plan, everything with the tax laws. You know, the first one is, at some point in time, people might have too much in an RRSP, and the TFSA is much, much tax preferred down the road. So do you have the right mix in that? We know exactly how the tax laws work. We don't know how the returns are going to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a report the other night, just so people know, too, with TFSAs, this woman, she came into some money, and she was advised by her bank to throw it into a TFSA, and it was way too much, and she got nicked with a $5,000 penalty.
Right.
So that's another reason people like you are invaluable, right? Because you know the balances and what should go where.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do see a lot, especially at banks, with accounts we see is that they've just put it into a savings account. Well, yeah. It's not going to grow over time. So you're really not saving any taxes at all if it's not 5, 10, hopefully 15% up per year on average.
You know, more and more over the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years, it looks like real estate has become more of a part of people's portfolios in terms of an investment. I know I'm skipping down to the end, but I'm just curious about your take on that and using it somehow or another inside of your portfolio.
Well, it just has to be factored in together. I mean, last week we talked about the Sherpa sizing, unlocking the equity in your home. Hey, it's a tax-free gain, right? So within reason, stretching yourself isn't necessarily a bad thing to do, because in the GTA, lots of other markets across Canada, it's a great investment, and it's a tax-free gain as well. So that's a nice combo platter.
Yeah, I'd say. And, you know, can you imagine, when did it really take off here? I was thinking about that the other day. I had a buddy bought a house down here on the lakeshore five or six years before us, and get in there at about $350,000-$399,000. And I'm just thinking what those are worth now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that again, that's tax-free, like, investment money or retirement money just laying there. And the people that were smart enough to get in at the right time are... The tax-free thing is the...
Yeah, but also, Tim, I mean, it wasn't until quite, I say recently, relatively recently, where people like you had real estate in or plans to offer people as part of their investment portfolio. Because what your friend did takes a bit of a leap of faith. You have to go and you have to go and buy it, as opposed to having it somewhere in your portfolio as an option, right, Timmy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, Fred, feels like it's been about 5 to 8 years things have really taken off. And having said that, we've been in Burlington, it'll be 18 years this year. If your money's growing 8% per year, rule of 72 for Howard there, it would have doubled twice in 18 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we paid about $420 for the home, certainly put some money in between. But doubling twice gets you to $1,680,000, and while we've done well, it hasn't gone that high either. So, yeah. You know,
I know what you're saying.
If all the people have is real estate, that's not really good diversification, right? Mm-hmm. But it certainly can be a good driver of the whole picture for sure.
Mm-hmm. You heard Mark Jordan on the show yesterday. That was kind of cool. Are you a fan of his? Because I love his music. It's fascinating to see how many other artists he's written for. It's crazy.
How can't you be, right? I mean, just his own music is amazing, or just what everybody's done of his music is amazing. So it's quite something, too. At his age, he's still driven to keep playing and creating and touring and all. It's very amazing stuff.
Well, you think about it, you know, you're the retirement Sherpa, but there's a guy that's 71 years old. He's sold 25 million records. He doesn't really need to come schlepping down to the Humble and Fred show on a, you know, Tuesday to promote some shows he's doing. And yet, why not? You know, it's like you want to talk about part of the retirement plan is to continue to be engaged somehow, not only for your to keep your money going, but also for your own personal health.
Stimulation.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely right. I refer to this place down here as my Petri dish for retirement. And, you know, whether it's through work, whether it's through golf, tennis, socializing, whatever, if you keep the noggin and the brain and the passion going, you add a lot of years to your life and the corny old life to your years, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was on that point, and he's a much younger man, but Brendan Shanahan, you know, who runs the Leafs now, he made a lot of money as a hockey player. You know, he could just swan through life. And I was partly thinking of him last night. He takes over, and he was supposed to be part of this rebuild, which has taken place to a certain extent. He was supposed to have all the answers. Just think of what his mindset is today. Like, do I really need this?
That's right. Do I need to be part of the Leafs aggravation?
It's a bad investment.
Yeah.
The Leafs are like that, I would say, you know, it's like that attractive perspective date.
Yes.
And that you've heard is a terror. You know, you've heard is just no good. I'm not saying men or women. And then you think, oh, you're going to be the one. It'll be different for you. You know, he came here. Babcock came here. It was going to be different for them. But for some weird reason, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Ah, Timmy, Tim, Tim. All right, Timmer.
It's just like my golf game. Every time I keep up, it's going to be different, and then it never is.
You keep expecting some other outcome.
That's right.
Listen, Raymond James, Tim Niblett, you guys do great work together. You know, we're having a great run. Come on.
My golf game's like my investments, compounded strokes.
Again.
Yeah. They just...
lots of gimmies.
Every 7 years, my score doubles.
Tim's got a joke here. He says, Nicolas Cage's marriage lasted longer than his movies do in theaters. I'm here all week. Enjoy the veal. All right, Timmy. All the best to you, sir.
As always, yes, we will see you in person next week.
All right, buddy, take care. There's the retirement sherpa. He's a good man. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. How would you rate the quality of this call? All right. Okay. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? The Maple Leafs, the franchise, the playoffs are over.
Yeah.
Last Canadian team. I don't know why is that. That sort of bugs me a little bit, too, but, you know. Well, it is what it is. You know what they say. The people like to say it is what it is, people.
You know, there's... I would like... You know, you got to feel good for Leaf haters today.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they're just totally rejoicing in all this. Although, what was it Bill Belichick who... They showed his quote last night. To live in the past means to die in the present.
Yeah.
Just remember that, Hab fans. But anyway.
I was surprised by the amount of Boston sports stars that were, you know, they're supporting their Boston Bruins.
Yeah, did you see that Edelman there from the... The Patriots guzzling that beer, that was a bit stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was childish, actually.
Well, but they're childs.
Yeah.
They're children.
They're childs.
They're childs.
They're childs.
Yeah, I saw that. But, you know, and I, it is stupid, but he's a kid.
No, I know, but, you know, you have certain responsibilities, and it wasn't way out there. It was just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people go, oh, the Edelman, you know, won the Super Bowl. Hey, it's great to see
him. He just guzzles
the beer.
And
it's all over his face. And
but it's America, man.
I know.
Americans love that stuff. You know, I don't want to get into a whole thing about America, but every time I see an ad for, because sometimes I'll, when I'm watching the network coverage of golf,
which I do occasionally,
once in a while, and I'll see a commercial for like the American Ninja Warrior show. What's that called, Sean?
Right, it is called American Ninja Warrior.
American Ninja Warrior. All you need to know about that country is in an episode of American Ninja Warriors. Just the way they make it seem like they're really into it and they're just supporting each other. I'm just, you know, get over yourself, America.
No, I know. And what's really, because I've really taken, because it's, you know, it's toxic. You know, the political civil war that's taking place down there. And if you let yourself fall into that, you get those feelings like, why do I feel like this right now?
Yeah.
It's because I'm watching this and I don't really need to. Because nothing's going to change now till the next election, a year from November. But it's just, what's really made me shake my head at that country is the Mueller report. Because it's just so obvious. There's a lot in there that you've got to be concerned with.
Yeah. No matter what your political leaning is.
But there's a whole side just carrying on like, nope, he's fine. He's great. See, you guys were all wrong.
As if nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Everything was fine.
And it's like... If that's where we're at now after this, and it's there in black and white for you to read what this guy is all about, and you're still taking that position, again, you don't care about your country. You care about your team. What's the use of even getting involved with that?
Yeah.
It's a lost cause.
I know you're not a big fan of Don Lemon, the CNN guy, but he had this thing. I saw it yesterday. It was basically a clip, a 3-minute clip that this website is called. And it was a 3-minute clip of all the Fox presenters, Sean Hannity and the like, talking about President Obama and all the golfing and all of this.
Yeah.
You know, just such hypocrites.
Yes.
And how they don't, how they can't, they know they said all those things.
Yeah, but, yeah. I know. No, but I'm just saying, with, you've got to remember, some of the most mindless television shows in the United States, in Canada to a certain extent, get the best ratings.
Of course, yeah.
Hannity, they don't care what they said before. They're just going to say, they're going to say what they have to say today to appease and delight all those idiots watching.
Absolutely. Bringing in the ratings.
That's exactly.
Because, you know, anybody that would watch Fox News and actually thinks it's valid or has any worth is an idiot.
It's
and
true.
So those are the ones that would see Edelman or whatever guzzle a beer during the hockey game and go, right on, brother.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else you should know about is Rainmaker, R-N-M-K-R.
R-M-N-K-R.
Thank you, Phil. Canada's leading cannabis communications agency is known for providing narrative creation, media relations, brand strategy, and advisory services to the most prominent brands in North America. We'll be telling you more about Cannabis tomorrow with our friends from Strainprint. Fred's going to talk about them in a second. But first, make it rain at rainmaker.agency. Make it rain at rnmkr.agency. Make it rain, people.
Hey, use cannabis better with the free Strainprint companion app that'll help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. Get the app, you know, through the regular places. It's there, or go to strainprint.ca. You know, it's something else. Learn from others' cannabis journey. That's what you do when you log on with Strainprint. People have been through some things. They have found out what strain works for them. It really is a great app if you've got, you know, some aches and pains or whatever your issue is. Strainprint.ca, that's where to find them online, or get the Strainprint app through the regular places.
Hey, Barker.
Hey.
How you like the new headphones?
I'm loving them.
Yeah, just put that thing right up there.
Yeah, just like... All my stage time.
Yeah, man.
It's just weird that a man who smells like smoke isn't taping it onto my mouth.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about the microphone. Usually,
yeah.
You're because you're
sound
theater
like,
people.
All right, here.
Sean, look after that, will you?
Man. you don't smoke anymore, do you, Sean? Just once in a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little
once
bit?
Once in a while.
All sound
once
guys smoke. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
You know, I just noticed I had a little bit of, I'm not sure what that is. It's toothpaste or something on my shirt.
Well, you brush your teeth after you put your shirt on?
What? I don't know what it is, I said.
Well, hey. Okay.
It could be yogurt. Easy.
No, but you said toothpaste.
No, I'm not sure what it is, toothpaste or
I
yogurt.
Do.
And that would make me say.
I know.
You wouldn't brush your teeth with your shirt on.
Why not?
Would you? Well, you usually get up, have a shower, brush your teeth, then get dressed.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no. I do mine last thing before I leave the house, so they're minty fresh.
So the reason it makes me laugh, though, is because the other day, I spent the entire day wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
I did the show with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same shirt on when I picked up Rachel for our little midweek get-together.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there having dinner. She said to me, honey, is your shirt on inside out?
What?
And I said, what? She goes, sweetie, I think your shirt's on inside out. I'm like, well, it wasn't even, it was like
a button-down shirt?
No.
Yes.
Not a t-shirt.
No, but it was a shirt of like a t-shirt material, but three buttons.
Oh.
Which were on the inside.
So you see all the stitching and everything, right?
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness. So the tag at the back was out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. And you weren't here, but these guys, I said to her, I said, I've just been around nothing but guys all day.
I'm sorry.
And no one noticed it,
including
myself. Just the way she said it, though, was cute. She goes, honey, I think your shirt's on inside out. Like, which is another thing you say to a man nearly 60.
I mean, or is
anyway.
It?
Is it? Maybe. I don't know.
It's inside pocket. That's the new technology.
But that's how I live my life. That's how I'm living my life right
that
now.
That once a week inside out shirt check-in.
Yeah.
I have a problem with olive oil. When I'm cooking or whatever, it'll splash on my shirt.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And even after a wash, it doesn't come out unless you spray and wash it.
Right.
I've got something for you.
So
what do you do with
what
that?
Is it?
It's an Italian thing called a grembiule.
Grembiule.
And it's not, because you know how aprons just cover you?
Oh.
Your boobies? It doesn't make sense. Why would an apron stop here? The oil's
going
to splash up here.
Yeah.
So they wear a whole smock with a zipper. That's what I wear now. Like a Nona. I'm telling you, it's great.
But I'll do a load of washing. And then throw the shirt on that's been washed and the olive
that
oil
spot's
still
there.
Oh. I hate that.
I have a bunny hug, as we call them.
What's
in Saskatchewan.
A bunny hug?
You don't know what a bunny hug is?
No, what's that?
A hoodie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a Saskatchewan. A Saskatchewan. Oh. Stop barking at Tony Clement.
That's a phrase you don't get to say every day.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that phrase? A bunny hug?
No. I thought you were saying stop barking at Tony Clement.
Sorry, Tony, the dog barked at you, but that's it's not personal. In Saskatchewan, it's one of those Saskatchewan things where you know you're talking to somebody from the prairies when they refer to a hoodie as a bunny hug, which is what we called them growing up.
A bunny hug? No, I never heard that.
Well, it's because you're from the East Coast, man.
Yeah, I am.
But have you ever heard that phrase?
No.
So I have a bunny hug with a bunch of oil on it, and I haven't been able to figure out how to get the oil out. So you spray it, you spray and wash it?
Get some spray and wash.
Talcum powder.
I have talcum powder. Who?
Talcum powder. If you get it when it happens, and even after, actually, talcum powder will absorb the oil. But get a Grembula.
You know, they have this.
Yeah. It's too late for that.
They have this stuff called OxyClean, too.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
And I'll spray and wash and then grab in my fingers some OxyClean and just smother rub it in a bit. Mm-hmm. And it seems to get the olive oil.
What about toothpaste? I've heard that toothpaste is also...
That I've never done.
No?
Am I making
that up?
Not the whitening toothpaste.
But I'll tell you one thing. Hairspray?
By the way, you can't trust a man who routinely wears shirts inside out. What? Hairspray?
In our laundry tip segment today.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Perfect for women of the 40s. Yeah. Hairspray actually gets out ink. So if anytime you have an ink, like, you know, the pen sort of scratch that you're like, oh, no, now I have ink on my jeans or something, spritz it with some hairspray. Let it soak.
What about this? What if I want my whites to be whiter? We're doing laundry.
Tony, this is
where we're at. We're getting ready for our heavy political segment by talking about things that, you know, laundry
and tips.
Scoop of resolve.
I had my shirt on inside out for a full day last week.
No one noticed.
Except my girlfriend. But at the end of the day, what were you saying about, what are you doing?
I'm spilling water. I'm adjusting to my new mic. Spilling water all over my breasts.
I don't see breasts.
I don't get a water stain.
You know, I don't
I have a little hack for you here,
yeah,
too.
Tell me.
By mistake. I'm going to have the windows cleaned at my house, but the ones at the back, the big picture windows, were really dirty. So I thought, before he comes, I just got to get some of the dirt off. Mm. So all I had, usually I get the, you know, the window washer thing and
the squeegee.
And the, you know, it's dishwashing liquid, but it still leaves streaks when the sun is shining through.
Mm.
In the garage, I had like some Armor All stuff that you wash your car with.
Oh, yes.
Car washing detergent, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it said on there, streak 3 dries without streaks. Oh. So I just got the car wash brush, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the solution. Rinsed the windows first. Did it with the car brush, with this car wash solution.
Wow.
Rinsed it off with the hose. I'm telling you, there's not a streak. There's nothing.
That's okay. Awesome.
Well, that's a great tip.
Yeah.
But let me just counter with this. I have a great hack. That my people have been using for years.
What is
that? It's called call someone. And what we recommend is no matter what job you have to do around the house, we say,
call someone. And the yellow pages.
And listen, next hour it's going to be something else here, kids. Our good friend, a very good friend of the show, someone that's been calling in for some time. Is making an appearance here in the studio. I'm not sure. Has Mr. Clement ever been actually in this
old studio, so.
Facility?
Right?
Old studio.
Yeah, not this one, though.
Mm-hmm. And look at him. He looks great.
I know.
He's got a nice shirt on.
There you go.
It's right side in.
It's right side in. He's an adult. He does adults. Also, there's a couple stories we've been sitting on, depending on what happens next hour. A man was arrested for being drunk at an Olive Garden in Florida. Because they noticed he was eating spaghetti with his hands. And we'll get to that story if we can, finally.
That's against the law?
Yeah, I feel like if you want to do that, you do that.
I think he had some he was exhibiting some other behavior that alerted the authorities.
Speaking of alerts, there's a Halle Berry alert. Have you seen her in the bubble bath? She took a little Instagram picture of herself in the bubble bath the other night and put it out there.
Really?
It's nice.
Is it?
It's real nice.
Again, you weren't even on Instagram. Yeah. What? Yeah. You only follow one person that's Halle Berry.
That's right, Halle Berry.
It's real nice.
I mean, that's cool and everything, but I don't see gender bathtub.
He doesn't see bubbles.
I don't see bubbles. All right. I don't see gender. I don't see bubbles.
What's happening?
I don't see bubbles.
I just I can't see that anymore. Listen, we're going to take a break now.
Yeah.
And we come back.
This music is amazing.
It's the West Wing theme.
Oh, I was like, is this Parliament?
No, it's Martin Sheen. Yeah. It's setting up for some snappy political discourse.
Like Halle Berry in the back.
Halle Berry in the bubbles.
And OxyClean.
We'll take a break. It's Canada's comedy superstation, Funny 820. This radio show also runs on several other Bell properties and around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. We'll be right back.
Of conversation, and Humble and Fred do it every morning. They make love to each other with the whole country listening in.
The legendary Humble and Fred Radio, Canada's national morning show,
and a dangerous mind.
They are not right in the head. Devious.
All right, let's do this. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Good to have you with us around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. Streaming on the iHeart Radio app, on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and live on Twitch TV. Our next guest doesn't need a whole lot of introduction. He has been serving this province and this country for a good amount of his life. He has been in the service of others. And last fall had made headlines around the country, was removed from the Conservative caucus in November, and shortly after that revealed that he'd had a... I'm not even sure how to describe it. We'll let him explain it. Please welcome back to our program the MP for Parry Sound, Muskoka.
Is it? He's so close. From Muskokie.
It's not Muskoka?
Seamless.
It was going really, really well.
It was really professional.
Up until that point, it was like impressed. I had my shirt on completely right side up. He is the MP. I was on the precipice.
I know. I was really impressed.
Can we just go back to the point before I got to Muskoka? So I was really Peter Mansbridging the crap out of that. Mansbridging.
You're auditioning.
He is the MP for Parry Sound, Muskoka. please welcome back to our program, Tony Clement.
Thank you.
He's from Muskoka.
Yeah.
I was about to read this description of what happened. You revealed in November that you had shared sexually explicit images and videos with multiple women. But maybe we can just begin by asking you, first of all, saying hello.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for coming, everybody.
That's Tony Clement, everyone. Fred put it up on Facebook, and I sort of was talking about it earlier this morning about that moment when Jay Leno asked Hugh Grant the question we'll ask you, which is, sure, what were you thinking there,
yeah,
Tony?
Yeah, no, huge personal crisis. How do you explain irrational behavior? I wish I knew the answer to that, but clearly I went down a deep, dark valley and was doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing. I regret it to this day and will regret it for the rest of my life, what I did to myself and my family and other people. So I wish I had a rational explanation. I think, you know, I've been honest about having, since that all came out to the public, which was the only way I could get out of it, quite frankly. I wanted to get out of it. I didn't have the control over the situation to get out of it until it was all public. And I used that opportunity that was, you know, foisted upon me, let's be honest, to get the counseling, to get the therapy, to get it out of my system. And so I don't do that anymore. And you look back on it, is what I'm trying to say, and say, what you just said, how could I have gotten myself in that situation? And it's just terribly unfortunate and something I'm going to regret forever.
How does it happen? What's the ramp up? Do you dip your toe in the in the pond, and it was a little bit of fun, yeah. And then leads to the next thing, and then, well, yeah. How did it start?
Yeah, I think you know, and look, this is all on me. I'm not mm-hmm. blaming anyone else. What I'm doing with you is explaining the situation,
right?
Not excusing the situation. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear to your listeners. This is never about me saying it was justified because I'm not going down that road. I take full responsibility. But no, I think looking back, it started because in the, you know, people with the use of social media now, mm-hmm. you're open to people, and some women approached me, mm-hmm. and I was not smart enough or not strong enough after successive attempts mm-hmm. to say no, mm-hmm. and I truly regret that.
You know, I can only speak for myself. Listen, there's behaviors that I exhibited when I was drinking a lot. I had this conversation a couple days ago. Someone asked me, you know, what got you to the point of stopping? And I said, well, I got so out of control. But it happens insidiously. It didn't happen one day a switch went off. But as Fred sort of said, you sort of dip your toe in behavior.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, you're in it.
And the brain, you know this, Howard. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know this. The brain is a diabolical thing. It can justify anything.
Sure.
Anything is justifiable. Well, you know, I've had a bad day at the office. I deserve this. Or, well, you know, this is not going right in my life, so I deserve that. And before you know it, you're doing this behavior.
But at what, like, the embarrassment through your family, which I can't imagine. But along the way, you're thinking, not only would this embarrass my family, but I'm a high-profile Canadian.
Right.
So does the urge just overtake the logic or the sensibility?
Well, that's why it's irrational.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Looking back on it, that had no logic to it. But your brain says, well, mm-hmm. everybody's doing it, and I'm just doing it too. And,
right.
And you know, all this nonsense. It's nonsense.
Tony, without, you know, being – I don't want to make this a step-by-step, a 12-step process, but excuse me. Just give us some context, if you can, and people listening who, you know what human beings are like, they're like, oh, yeah, Tony Clement, I heard something about him.
Yeah.
Last fall, or if they even remember at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they've moved on to the next thing that's provocative. Do you mind describing, if you will, because people can Google this if they want, but basically, what was the thing, how did it start? And when did you know that, I think I've crossed into a zone here as an MP,
right.
as somebody, one of the highest profile people in the country politically, when did you realize, I think I've gone to a point where I can't get out of this now?
Well, the whole thing came to, came to its ultimate conclusion on Halloween night of all nights, these catfishers were, you know, sending me explicit photographs of a woman and saying, and it was two guys in sweatpants in Ivory Coast, but she was saying, I've sent you a bunch of pictures, you have to send me pictures. And I said, I really don't do that, but no, I insist. And that's how they kind of caught me. And as soon as I sent the pictures, then they said, we want money, and we want 50,000 euros. You know, mm-hmm. sent to this bank account. And at that moment, I said, okay, this has gone way too far. I'm informing the RCMP. I'm informing my wife. I'm informing my party leader, Andrew Scheer. I'm informing my, I just knew that it was over.
And had it been going on for a while at that point?
Well, I mean, what I admitted to a week after all of that was that I had been engaged in extramarital activity, affairs, online, but also in person, before that incident. So it was a course of conduct that I got into, that I'm thankfully out of. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing that brought it to the attention of everyone. So I was the one who informed everyone. Now it was because I was pushed into it. I get that, but I also told everyone about all the other things and just got it all out there. And that was my, now that I had no more secrets, then I could make a clean break of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I just felt completely constrained by the secrets and the shame and the pride, that kept me locked into a bad situation.
So let's be clear here. So you were saying you had extramarital affairs outside of this.
Yes.
Now, did your wife know about those until...
Well, I don't
before the night.
Yeah, I don't want to get into what she knew and when. But since that time, I have been completely honest with her about everything.
Right. So, do you think what you did online maybe was part of that sort of that freedom or taking that chance made it easier for you to take this chance online?
Yeah. I think it was just it was all part of the same conduct people know that the brain is a funny thing, and when it's getting its dopamine or endorphins one area, it just keeps going back to that area. Yeah. And so that's what I was doing, and I needed a clean break to get out of that.
But what would the end game be? Like when you're the online thing, I'm going to do this now because it's going to lead to what?
Well, it's a form of lust.
Well, yeah, it's all, when you talk about the brain, the dopamine, and that sort of feeling of, it, you know, it's like an
excitement. It's exciting. It's illicit.
Did you ever think you would meet this woman, or this was just an online thing?
It was an online thing.
But you had, but the what you're saying, that, and it's interesting, again, you know, what was the phrase, shame
and pride.
You're not the first high-profile human being. You're not the first human being to have gone through this.
Right.
And the problem with being a profile person, especially politically, because there's something about politicians where we sometimes put away our empathy and we shake our fingers at them because it's like they're but they're just, you're just
the best is the Bell Let's Talk Day, where everyone hashtags end the stigma. And again, I deserve everything I got. I'm not saying anything other than that, but the stigma put on me, the judgment. I guess there's a lot of people who have no glass houses anywhere near.
Well, that's what I was getting at, is that, you know, you can say, "Oh, Tony Clement this," and it makes us feel it's in a weird way. It's why people rejoice, the Schadenfreude, in the misery of others. You know, the Tiger Woods story is so compelling because he was so exposed and then came back. And at some point I want to talk about what a comeback for you might look like.
Right.
But the fact that you were so exposed in front of all of us, and we both agree that you did the right thing, obviously, not that you need our endorsement.
Well, yeah, getting ahead of it is really the way to go. Because, again, when you get to the politician thing, they don't have the best reputations generally. But if you're a politician and you have all this stuff around you and you never say anything or you never address it, you're just another one of those guys.
Right.
Doing this, I think, was the right thing to do.
I think it was the only thing to do. Yeah. And thank you for saying that, but it was the only thing to do to save my soul. So quite apart from whatever... look, there was a lot of reputational damage. We all know that. But regardless of whether this redeems me in the public is almost immaterial, in the sense that I've got to save myself first, in the sense that I've got to have mental wellness again. And that was important to that.
And that is important for people to know. And that's why it's interesting you mentioned Bell Let's Talk, because what you've gone through, what you're going through is just as mentally unwell as anyone else's mental unwellness. What were you going to say to me?
Oh, I was just going to say that you're owning it. And by owning it, no one else gets to own it. And, you know, that's the only way to move forward from any... I think there's a great dignity in just owning that piece of your human experience. And like you said, you're not the first one. It's just you have to go through it publicly.
You know, the best public example of that was the way Letterman handled it. Remember that?
Yeah.
The way he just came, like, he didn't waste any time or deny. He just owned it. It was over before it begun, almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, people get to say all sorts of things. And then if I waded into, you know, that particular instance is wrong, or, you know, there was, you just keep going down the toilet bowl. So people got to say stuff that actually wasn't true about my conduct.
Of course.
But I just let it slide and just say, look, you know, folks, I did a bunch of wrong things. I'm not doing those wrong things anymore, but I truly regret what I did.
So what was the, if you can categorize, the most difficult or the most heartbreaking? Was it telling your family, telling the party, telling the public, sort of all of that? Was there a moment where you went, okay, I'm done now?
Well, I think there were some moments of great despair after all of that, because it's all happening. You're drinking from the fire hose because it's all public, and you're, you know, I kind of, as soon as I issued my statement about it all, I just hopped in the car and kept driving south. Just like, I just had to get away from it all. So I drove 1,000 miles to Savannah, Georgia, for no other reason that that was 1,000 miles from where I was. And I just stayed in a hotel for a week. And
it's
and
a great
just,
city.
You know, I was going to say, so you got away from everything to go eat fatty American food.
Yeah. To go to Paula Deen.
It was great.
You're like, what can I get you, sir? Cover it in gravy. I don't care what it is.
You know,
just get me something in gravy.
We all have issues in our lives, so there you are. And sometimes, you know, we feel overwhelmed by whatever that situation is. So you're in Savannah, Georgia, at a hotel all by yourself. How do you even begin to reel stuff in and sort of organize your brain what to do?
It was, you know, the brain kicks into overdrive, so I was actually quite calm. But the in answer to your earlier question, though, Fred, the where I ended up in December, in January, was a deep feeling of aloneness and despair about all of the damage I had done to people that I loved and people who respected me, people who had supported me through thick and thin in the political world, you know, my kids, obviously, and, you know, all, basically begging God for some mercy. Like, okay, you know, it's like the book of Job. Like, okay, when does the suffering stop? I'm kind of, you know, but of course it's not on my timing. It's on divine providence's timing.
So back to my question about what that moment of, if you can categorize, was as a politician, the moment you tell your party, difficult as a husband, the moment you tell your wife, as a father, etc.
Yeah, it's always all very, very difficult. I mean, I can't describe it other than I had to do it, and I was hoping that time would heal some of the wounds,
and
obviously.
And it will.
And it will. Not all of them, probably, but some of them. And then I got to the point, Howard, where, look, I can't change it. I wish I could change the past. I wish I could get the magic wand out and it would be like a Hollywood movie and you could change the past. I can't. All I'm responsible for now is the present and the future, and my conduct in the present and my conduct in the future. 24 hours, you're just responsible for the next 24 hours.
That's the friends of the big book people always talk about, that winning the battle of just one day.
Right.
You know, and the thing about human beings and human nature is one of the reasons we're stressed is because oftentimes we're living in this weird time traveling of the past and the future. But today you can take care of you can at least win this battle.
Right, right.
And is that how you are attacking it?
Yep. Yeah, that's how I'm doing it. It's basically the same kind of formula that you referenced, and I've got some people around me. I've got the guardrails up now, and I've got the behavior where I want it to be, and I got some people around me who care about me, you know, both in my family and outside my family, who are checking up on me, and that's the way it should be.
So you've decided not to run this fall?
Yeah, that's, I thought, 25 years, you know, it gave me time to think, Fred.
Right.
So I mean, there's the what we've been talking about, but I had other options. I put all those options aside politically, and I said, look, you know what? I first ran for office in 1994. A lot has changed. You know, I'm not getting any younger. If I'm going to have another career, it's better to start it at 58 than at 62 or 66 or whatever. So that's it just became clear to me that this was the right time after 25 years of public office, after 16 years in various cabinets, you know, having an amazing, you know, experience provincially in government, federally in government, that now is the time to move on.
How much of that decision would be based on, we mentioned social media, I don't want to go through, put my family through, what would if you ran again during a campaign, what you'd have to endure through social media? It would be
I mean,
relentless and punishing and cruel.
But social media is like that every day, even if you hadn't done it.
No,
I mean, let's face it. But I mean, I will tell you this. I have talked to hundreds and hundreds of people in Parry Sound, Muskoka, in my riding, and the most common response is, Tony, you screwed up. Welcome to the club. We all screw up. You're just like the rest of us, but you've done so much for us, and you care about us, and you bleed for us. We want you to stick around. That's not everybody's saying that, but a lot are saying that. And so I felt that if I was the Conservative candidate in the next election, I would win that election, particularly given things going on in Ottawa the way they are.
Sure.
But that, to me, was not the real question. The real question was, it would be a nasty campaign. You're right.
That
was
part of it. And who needs that?
And who needs that? And I just, you know, you'd have to have, I always said to myself, when I don't have the fire in my belly anymore, that's the time to hang up the skates.
Right.
And I think we're approaching that.
Yeah, I was going to say the having to endure the campaign of whatever that is, that shadow campaign on the internet. Yep. I don't even, like when you first ran in 94, you know, we just started out, but I remember that just when the internet started to blossom and all of a sudden the feedback we were getting was instantaneous as opposed to somebody writing a letter.
Sure.
I can't imagine why anyone, we've said this a million times, I don't know why anyone, why would you even bother being in politics? Because a guy like you, a smart man, smart women.
Not as smart as I thought I was.
But you could have done a lot of things.
Yeah.
And being a politician, I know a lot of people think it's so great, but you know, for a lot of people like yourself, there were other opportunities,
sure.
And yet you've done it for 25 years, and there's something about that, I think, to be acknowledged and respected.
Well, I've got a lot of people now saying thank you for your service, and we're going to miss you, which was nice. You know,
because that's that, and this is this.
That's it.
Right. Two separate things.
Right.
What about Andrew Scheer? What was his spin like? Oh, Tony, I mean, you're so valuable to me, but there's only one way we can go with this.
Well, Andrew and I had a lot of good chats in the intervening months. There's no question about it. And look, I respect him so much. I want to be the next prime minister. He'll do a far better job than Justin Trudeau. So I'm still a movement conservative. That hasn't changed. But he has to run a perfect campaign to beat the Liberal war machine. And, you know, I was in the House of Commons just a couple of weeks ago, and Andrew Scheer stood up and said, Prime Minister, you're saying I'm saying bad things. You know, you want to take me to court? Well, take me to court. I'm ready. You know, bring it on. Justin Trudeau stands up in the House of Commons and says, basically, you're a white supremacist. I mean, that's the nature of political defense.
Yeah. No.
That's the nature of political discourse now. And I'm thinking, I want to stick around.
Yeah, exactly.
For
you
what
need
reason?
This? Yeah. I mean, you're here. First of all, you not only have you done enough, but you're up there in Parry Sound, Muskoka.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's beautiful. Especially with summer coming to the Muskokas.
And Tony, what is the defense for that? You're a white supremacist. It's like when somebody says, you're a racist. Like, what do you say?
I know. Well, he said, no, I'm not, and you're despicable. But, I mean, you know,
it's on the record.
Yeah, it's on the record. Yeah. So, you know, I think that it's very disruptive. And I say this, it's very disruptive times in politics right now.
Yeah.
And I'm an older white male.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, it's time for some new faces, I think, and even in Parry Sound, Muskoka.
Well, I was going to say, on top of everything else you've done, you're also a white man. So, I mean, come on, Tony. You've got no chance. We're going to have to take a break here in a second. We're getting lots of reaction, obviously, Twitch TV. This gentleman, Edmonton Steve, who's my brother, wants to know, why did Tony decide to come on the Humble and Fred show today?
I'd like to answer that.
And why don't we answer that? Sorry, Sean. Sorry, I just touched your thing again. Your camera.
Watch
your
side.
Come on.
Can I also say $5, Mike? Way to face the skeletons head on, Tony. That
yes.
takes a lot
That's
of guts
nice.
To do.
Yeah, a lot of people
exactly.
are very impressed by your appearance here today. We will just take care of a little bit of business here. And then we'll go to our break, and we'll come back with the MP, still the MP for Parry Sound.
Yep. Till October.
Yeah. You can't get rid of him like that. He's still, come on, people. He's your guy up there, Parry Sound. I'm going up.
Well, that's Bobby Orr country.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe, can you talk about the high price of boat rental? Because I find
it's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Why has it got to cost so much to rent a boat for one day?
It's the carbon tax.
I just want to go for a little tooty toot around the lake.
Plus, that's how Phil wants to get Pearl here.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. Tony has helped us with the pearl problem. But let's talk about our friends at LFS. Hey, Freddie?
If you're a business owner looking to upgrade equipment without tying up existing capital, then LFS Credit and Finance Solutions is your best choice for leases and loans. Doesn't matter what the equipment is. They do it all. Restaurant, construction. Yeah, creditfinance.ca is where to go. Creditfinance.ca. They can help you. And how about this deal? They'll waive the administration fee from now till the end of May when referencing Humble and Fred. The savings between $150 to $750 depending on the deal size. LFS Credit and Finance Solutions.
1-833-437-8465. 1-833-HF-STINK. You can also get a hold of us. You can interact on Twitch television, on our Facebook page, and of course listen anytime at humbleandfredradio.com. We'll come back with the current MP for the Muskokas and De Perry Sound people. Tony Clement will be our guest in the next segment as well.
Just can't stand the way I feel.
It's Humble and Fred Radio.
Can't wait until
this program brought to you by Hamilton Film Studios. Boy, these guys are good. They're good. So my brother Steven's going to give him a shout face. Because he often is, he's in the business producing.
In this area.
And he wants to, contact Hamilton Film Studios, like a lot of big producers. Hamilton Film Studios, 400 Wellington Street North, just outside of downtown. It's 4,000 square feet of shooting space. You don't need Toronto. Go to Hamilton. It's cheaper. It's better. Nice people. Not that there's not nice people here. Let's be serious. They got an expendables and rental store. Hamilton Film Studios. HamiltonFilmStudios.com. 400 Wellington Street North, Hamilton. We're in conversation with the, I guess at one point last fall, and what does that feel like? Tony Clement, one point last fall, was the most talked about Canadian for a period of a few days. It was just, none of us have ever experienced to be at the center of a storm like that. Can you maybe talk a little bit, Tony, about what is that? Like, you made the decision to come clean about all this stuff. And then when it actually happens, you said it was like a fire hose or
drinking
something?
From a fire hose.
Drinking from a fire hose. What is... So those moments when it's now out there.
Very difficult, because you're not enduring it alone. It affects your family. And my wife, who has been a lawyer all of her adult life, had just launched a new career as a book author. So she was on a book tour when all of this was happening, and I obviously felt badly about that. And you just feel terrible. I can't even describe the depths of despair that I went into. But at the end of it, number one, I have faith. I'm a Christian person, and so it just so happens that Christianity does or should believe that. You know, we all need grace, the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we
all
not
need forgiveness.
Get very far. Yeah, exactly. And because we all have our isms, as I say, whatever it is. So that was helpful. I want to be clear about that. And I just dug deep and said, okay, this is a very bad spot, and hopefully I can climb out of it.
Your marriage, you're still together.
Yeah, I mean we're working through our issues, Freddie. But I don't want to get into the gory details. But no, she loves me. I love her, and we're working our way through it.
And you know, we often talk about religion on this show. I'm not sure if you've heard it before the program, but there is a place for faith. I think, and if that gives you comfort,
right,
and you know, you can turn to, you know, whatever dogma you ascribe to. And I say that respectfully.
Right, right.
Because there are, it's just the fellowship, it's support.
And they came through for me. My particular church, I was worried that they'd all judge me and shun me, but they didn't. They did the exact opposite. So they crowded around me and said, "Brother, you're in a bad spot, but we're here for you." And
nice.
That was amazing.
Up there in Makoka.
And Makoka.
Up in the Makokas.
Let's unpack it just a little bit more. I had friends that had been friends for years that I didn't hear from.
Yeah.
And I had strangers I'd never heard of before that came right to my side. And that's sometimes the amazing thing about this.
On that point, did you hear from the other side at all?
Yes.
Like that slick Trudeau. Did he call you or anything?
No,
and say, Tony,
no.
I know what you're calling.
Well, are you talking about
didn't.
The Prime Minister impersonator?
Yeah.
The guy that's doing a tribute to the Prime Minister?
No, but
that's fodder for them, right?
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. But I would say, on the other side of the aisle, half a dozen liberals approached me unsolicited and said, "Tony, I'm so sorry. Hang in there. You're a good man. Hang in there." And that meant that it was some of them I'd never even talked to once in my life. And,
nice.
And they were there, and I'll never forget that.
Well, whether you're on, I mean, that phrase, on the other side of the aisle. Listen, we're all here on this planet hurtling through space. You know, in the end, we're all just human beings. And if we can't find kindness and empathy and something in our hearts for other human beings, well, then, you know, what's the point of it all? Who cares what your politics is? I'm happy to know that other people who are in politics looked at you and went, you know, he's a good guy. I don't care what his politics are. He's just a nice person. And listen, this can happen to anybody.
Well,
and it
does.
It does.
Yeah.
Prior to this incident, was Tony Clement a happy-go-lucky, like everything's cool? Did you ever battle depression or anything? Not to get too deep. My question being, do you ever think you'll be the old Tony again? Do you think you could ever be the person you were before this? Like, be at peace with yourself is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I actually want to be a new and improved Tony, and I think that's what my goal should be. I had great moments. I didn't suffer from clinical depression, but clearly something was off kilter that I had to deal with. I had to confront, and I've had some advice that some of it relates to my childhood upbringing and so on. So something was there that was an unexploded bomb that finally exploded in my personal life. So yeah. But I think now that I can be a better person, and I'm certain. Perhaps I'm a more empathetic person. You know, when people come to me with their problems, I'm not judging anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what it gives. You know, it experience gives us perspective.
Yeah.
So back to my brother's question, and I think you and I were delighted that you agreed to come on the show. How it started was I just said I sent you something on Twitter. Just a note or something, and you came back immediately saying, "Yeah, I'll come on the show." And we're like, "Really?" And usually with us, it's like, not Tony Clement, but somebody that he knew once or a buddy of his.
His best friend
his
in
best
Brampton.
Friend in, yeah. Well, that's how it normally. So we were delighted that you wanted to come and hang with us. But what was the impetus? What's your, this is...
Well, we go back a long way. When you were in Brampton, doing your show in Brampton and the old CFNY days and all of that. And so you've been part of my life. And I'm sure you must hear this all the time, that, you know, people would say to you, I'm sure, that growing up or, you know, when they were in university or when they were just starting their workaday life, you were part of their life. And I feel that way about you guys.
And I was never, I don't think I was ever your constituent, but I would often see you in Brampton.
Right.
And I used to say, I said this to my wife a couple of times, you know, one day we may know personally the Prime Minister of this country.
Well, I was three heartbeats away. Sorry, three men.
Yeah.
Well,
didn't make it.
I mean, and we appreciate your kind words about, you know, how what we've meant to you and the other citizens of Parry Sound, Muskogee. But maybe now that you've got time, you're going to be in the party. You're going to be an MP until the fall, and you're not going to run. You're not sure what you're going to do. But given your intimate knowledge of what we've meant to this country, maybe it's time for you to start the Humble and Fred in the Radio Hall of Fame, Broadcast Hall of Fame. Maybe you take the lead on that project, because the fact that we're not in it is really one of the great injustices.
It is.
That this country is suffering.
I feel the same way as when Rush was not in the Rock and Roll
Thank
Hall of
you,
Fame.
Tony.
It's just analogous.
Listen, we're going to be celebrating our 30th anniversary in the fall.
Wow.
We're going to do it's hashtag HF30. And if you can talk to some people, you know, I don't know, you've got some pull there with the Prime Minister impersonator. Maybe we declare something.
You can't ask your way in. You're killing us right now. It's got to be organic.
It's got to be
somebody else's.
That's how it works.
It's got to be
viral.
Oh,
it's got to be viral.
It's got to be organic.
Yeah.
Well, look who's in there.
All right. Sorry.
Can I tell you my Rush story?
Yes,
a great anecdote for, you know, people say, you know, what were the highlights? And I can talk about battling SARS or, you know, the auto rescue and all these other things. But I'm a big Rush fan. And one day I was in the House of Commons as industry minister, and a fellow MP walked by my desk. I was getting ready for question period. And he said, "Hey, Clement, you're a Rush fan." I said, "Yeah, duh." He said, "Well, look up in the gallery." And there was Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson in the gallery, the public gallery, because they were going to get their Governor General's Award.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh my gosh, Rush is here, Rush is here. So wouldn't you know it, I got a question. So this NDPer gets up and he's talking, blabbing away at something. So I stood up and I said, "Well, Mr. Speaker, I've already answered that question. But may I say, for the men who hold high places must be the ones to start to mold a new reality closer to the heart."
Oh, nice.
Really? And I look and
and what was their reaction?
They were going thumbs up and like this. And then Getty's mom, who's a Holocaust survivor.
Right.
Getty told me, you know, that one of her proudest days was when I mentioned Rush in the House of Commons, because that legitimized, wasn't like that they were big rocks, that
no,
they,
exactly.
they were mentioned in the House of Commons. That must meant that they were important.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's a great story.
We can't thank you enough for coming in here. It takes, as a lot of our listeners have said, it takes a lot of guts, especially this nonsense parade known as the Humble and Fred Show.
It's my pleasure, my honor.
And,
I thought we might touch a little on going forward.
Sure. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Because we got a couple more.
He's here, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got a couple more things.
Yeah.
No, just only looking ahead, you know, in the election this fall.
Yep.
How important is it for a change?
I really think it's incredibly important. The issues are too, I mean, it's a very disruptive world, and we can't have amateur hour.
Yeah,
in government in Ottawa, it's as simple as that.
And
people are suffering. People are, you know, trying to pay the bills, and affordability is a huge issue everywhere. A lot of big issues internationally and nationally, and we need some changes.
Well, we do. Mm-hmm. And once you land on something, I know you said during the break you've got lots of ideas of what you might want to do.
Yeah, some unsolicited business proposals have come my way, and that's great. And I still have my radio show, Tony's Rockin' Shindig, at 88.7 Hunter's Bay Radio, Huntsville.
Tony's Rockin' Shindig.
Hey, and we're running out of time today, but maybe as the election approaches, maybe, you know, lighthearted fun, maybe we can get you on the phone the odd time for
I'd
a
love
little
it.
Perspective.
You could be our correspondent from Parry Sound with
Cuckoo. That's right. Your pundit.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you've got lots of things on the go, but Humble and Fred in the Broadcast Hall of Fame. I mean, that's the kind of thing where that could be your legacy,
it
Tony
could be a
Clement.
Legacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Do you?
I'm there for you, brother.
Well, we appreciate it. Hey, you know what might be interesting?
What's
at
that?
The very least interesting is if we asked, would you mind hanging around here for a second?
Sure.
If we asked this gentleman that just walked in the studio if he'd like to join us for the last few minutes on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are you prepared to speak? I know you like to chat. Should we get that? This is unscheduled, but these gentlemen were going to come in to talk about. We rent the studio, and I had an appointment for these people to come in and talk about studio rental. Would you mind if I invited Mr. Bullard to come over? Michael, do you want to come over and say hi?
I thought I recognized that pate.
Maybe get off your phone, young lady, and come over and say hello to Tony Clement and the Humble and Fred people. Ladies and gentlemen, formerly the
hey, brother.
The host of Open Mic, on News Talk 1010, where this show runs as well. Please say hello to Mike Bullard, everybody. How about that? How do you like them apples?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, Tony. Cry me a river.
I'm trying, man.
There's Mike in front of his mouth there.
Yeah.
Here, how you going there?
Not bad. How are you?
How you doing there, kid?
I'm good, buddy.
Nice to see you again. Hey, Ben, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good.
I love the fact that in spite of our one-year age difference, you always call me kid. It's one of the reasons I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you in the studio. You know Tony Clement? He's MP.
Best roads in the country.
It was a good time, the G8.
Yeah. You paved everything.
We tried.
There's no forest left.
No, it's just like
you filled in the lakes with asphalt. You did a fantastic job.
Lots of space for gazebos.
Tony's working through some stuff, so just go easy on him.
There's
okay,
nothing like being able to cut across Lake Joe right on the paved asphalt without worrying about a boat.
That's
amazing
right.
job.
It's over engineering.
I'm not saying there are any asphalt kickbacks, but good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
not
saying.
You're not saying.
Mike Bullard, Fred. Look at Mike Bullard's here. Look at him.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good
nice
to see
you again there, son.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy.
It's been some time. Mike and I and Fred, we go way back. Actually, you and I go back
to
a long time. Well, I've often said it was the other Bullard I got to know first, but I got to know you the best.
That's right.
I did a lot of stand-up with your brother back in the middle 80s, you know, all nice hair and crap, but then I met you, and I'm like, oh, that's where all the...
Yeah, I heard the hairspray thing for stains. I just don't know how I could go into a drugstore and buy a can of hairspray without getting a laugh or two. It'd be too embarrassing.
Although Mike is one of those guys that looks great bald. You do.
Thanks, Fred.
Somewhere along the line, you decided to go that way.
And if I cared what guys think, I'd be extremely...
Yeah, you should be.
I'm offended.
You shouldn't be. Where are you? Are you at the Saga? Is that still part of what you're doing?
No, they went broke after like a week.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons that we were sort of interested in staying with.
I know, because they wanted you to come there too.
Yeah. We were like, hey guys, good luck to whatever you're doing, but we're going to stay here and
broadcast. You know what, podcasting is much better.
Well, we do the radio on the 820. Right now we're live on Funny 820, Canada's Comedy Superstation, but we also stream it on Twitch TV, and it's a podcast. So we're a multi-platform operation.
And that's why I'm here, to look renting the space off of Humble, who's never been about money.
No, he's not. The irony is, I'm all about bringing it in, but he's the one that keeps track of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I just bring it in and hand it over to... the chief financial officer.
So how are things with you? Good? Bouncing back?
Yeah, trying. Yeah.
It's retribution.
That's right. I was saying you two fellas have a lot sort of in common.
Tony was just talking about his...
I heard it all on the way in.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
Right. And you went through a very public...
Yeah, I went through a lot, including a stalking charge, which was never made, but it didn't stop Kevin Donovan from writing about it in the Star.
Yeah.
I finally got an apology off of them, like page 40.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always the way it works.
Yeah. I heard him in here the day he was in here.
Oh, Kevin?
Yeah,
we've had Kevin on for different reasons on different subjects. I don't think we ever had him on talking about you, though.
No, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I heard it. You were very nice about it, Fred. So were you, Humble.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think he was in for it, but we touched on that. That's right.
Listen, before we continue this in-depth mail drop-in center, can we talk a little bit about Palma? We got to pay a couple bills here, you know? It's Palma Pasta, my friends. Can we talk about them?
Palma Pasta. Palma
Pasta. I need you for Green Genie there, sir.
With locations in Mississauga and Oakville, a most recent opening, Palma's Kitchen. 10,000 square feet of delicious items. Hot food from pasta, meats, pizzas, soups. Cold food from salads, sandwiches. Italian fresh and frozen groceries. Started as one location. 4 employees, mom, dad, sister, and Anthony. And now it's 100 employees, 4 locations. Go to palmapasta.com. Find out where those locations are. And check out Palma's Kitchen for lunch one day.
All right, Phil, are you mic'd?
This should be okay, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, Green Genie SEO, if you want to be on Google properly, you want to be on page one, Green Genie SEO is there for you, because if you're not on page one on Google, you basically cease to exist, basically, to the average users. Green Genie SEO can provide you with an analysis of your website and certain strategies that'll help you get to the top of the list. That's Green Genie SEO, 905-233-2488, or greengenieseo.com.
Good job there, Phil. You know, Mike's here. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to say this to Tony as well. You know, very few of us ever experience what both of you have in common, which is to be, you know, all of a sudden, you know, after years of, you know, covering the news, or in your case, Tony, you know, being in the news for being, you know, sort of a typical politician, which, you know, has a lot of slings and arrows. But all of a sudden you're in a situation where you become this public pariah almost. In your case, you know, you go from being a guy that has commented and made fun of all that, and all of a sudden you're now the, you know, not to be offensive, but all of a sudden you're the punchline.
Yeah, I know.
You're the punchline.
Sure.
Just get a little closer to that thing. So what is that? Can you maybe each of you describing me? Tony's talked for the last hour about what it felt like for him. What did it feel like for you?
Humiliating. Devastating, reading stuff about yourself that wasn't true, which you probably did too.
Yep, absolutely.
And all of a sudden you go, what the hell happened here? And why isn't anybody asking for my side of the story?
Because it's not sexy enough.
Tony got in a car and drove 1,000 miles just to get away from it. What did you do to get away from it?
I followed Tony.
Oh, you were the guy in room 9988.
That's right.
You guys met each other at the Best Western Buffet.
But Tony was good enough not to file a stalking charge. And I really appreciate that. And I was following him pretty close at times.
But your thing, whatever it was, went on a long time.
Went on for 2.5 years because of a Crown attorney who decided that I was going to be the next Gomeshi, and was extremely disappointed when other women didn't come forward. And was extremely disappointed when she couldn't find out anything in my past that indicated that I had ever done anything. The only thing I will say is, because I got a civil case going.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Will it ever be over? Like,
now it's in my court. It's a civil case. I got a great lawyer, Joe Villeneuve. But I have never stalked or abused a woman in my life. And that was the part that really killed me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the part that killed me reading that. And then all of a sudden you see stuff on Twitter like, hey, I heard you got accused of rape and all this other jazz. And it was just, and what it came down to was three texts, which were, please tell this person you know to stop spreading stalking lies about me, which I shouldn't have done. But when your reputation's on the line and you're hearing all these rumors, you can't help it. You get mad and you react.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. And then the judge threw out the criminal harassment and throughout the obstruction of justice, and it didn't make the news. There were four reporters sitting in the courtroom, and it didn't make the news.
What's that old saying about bad news travels fast? People people can't wait.
Winston Churchill said a lie travels halfway around the world before the truth puts on its pants in the morning.
And in Tony's case, and in your case, and others like that, and like what you said, Tony, it's not an excuse for what happened, but there's an explanation for it. And in your case, Mike, you were never really given an opportunity until long after the lie had been made somewhat real by social media.
So then I put on Twitter that I didn't do this, didn't do that, and I got another charge. I got a charge of obstruction of justice.
So all the charges have been dropped?
Yeah, the criminal harassment and that, and then what I admitted to, which was the three texts to, you know, inquire as to whether or not this person was going to stop this person she knew from spreading the stalking lie.
Right.
And I copped to that all along. I owned it. And everybody in the legal system has walked up to me and said to me, why wasn't this a peace bond? Why wasn't this just something that went away in 2 days?
So you're fighting back now, but even if that turns out good for you, you know it's not going to make a lot of news for what you said leading up to this.
Well, my lawyer says this will, because Rogers took out an anti-slap suit against me, and that law is designed for David versus Goliath, not Goliath versus David.
Mm-hmm.
So he says it will, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, right. The point being, it's just, can you ever fully recover from this?
Well, I didn't lose any social media followers. Which is
no,
kind
well,
of
that's fantastic. Listen, I know you've gone through it. I mean, really, it's purely injustice, and you've been harassed, and it's made a huge impact on your life. What Tony went through, again, self.
It was consensual, but it was self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah.
And again, you know, everyone's going
through... And mine was self-inflicted, too, because I was told not to make any contact, and I shouldn't have. But when your reputation's on the line, you kind of get
But, Mike,
angry.
My You're point desperate. Is, everyone goes through something. There ain't nobody who's not starring in their own movie of and they've got their own problems. But Fred and I are not in the Broadcast Hall of Fame. This is our. You don't think that's this? This can we leave all this behind now? I'm sorry, man. Listen, we got to go. We got to leave. Phil. Okay, you people listening on 8:20. We're gonna just wrap things up at humbleandfredradio.com. Mike Bullard is, a longtime friend of the show. Tony Clement, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming in.
What it's been an honor.
You're both lovely. And Phil, can I hear you here now?
Absolutely. And I also have to say, Mr. Clement, thank you so much for helping me and Mrs. Hong.
Oh, it's my honor.
Tony's helped Phil bring his wife here from Cambodia.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, his wife lives in Cambodia, Mike. Yeah.
Because I'm Cambodian.
Gee, why wouldn't you go there?
Yeah, Mike, don't ask any direct questions.
That's 3 years of humble and fed right there.
Right. Isn't Pol Pot gone now?
No, just don't ask any direct questions.
You can buy a house with 1 month's salary.
All right, here we go. We'll finish things up at humbleandfredradio.com and continue to be live on Twitch TV. Phil?
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Dick Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Green Genie SEO, Rainmaker PR, Hamilton Film Studios, and our newest sponsor, Palma Pasta. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
We got to make that. We're just going to say goodbye. Do we have anything else to talk to these guys about? Or are we just going to say, hey, okay, we still have microphones on. Mike Bullard, what are you doing these days? Yeah, we're still down.
Oh, sorry.
Because I said we were going to continue, but now you can swear if you want to. Not you, sir. You.
No.
You Christian soldier.
I did some stand-up, and that's about it. I was at... talk radio station in Mississauga that lasted for about 6 minutes.
Yeah. Did they go out of business completely? Or you just...
No, but now their hosts are all volunteers.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're part of that group, the volunteer hosts. Tony, you're as an MP, you still do your MP duties.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm still meeting with constituents, still going to events. We've got a big problem in Muskoka right now with flooding.
That every year, don't you?
This is the worst I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Worse than 4 years ago?
Worse than 2013, you're thinking of.
2013.
Yeah.
And why is that? What has been going on? Because this year, for some reason, it's almost like we had this weird winter. You'd think it seemed like it was over a month ago, but yet...
There was a lot of freezing thawing.
Here, but up there, it was snow.
Right.
But a lot of golf courses are a couple weeks later opening in the GTA than they normally are. I don't know, for what you just said, because of all the difference in
They just had to dynamite the Credit River for the first time in 40 years or something.
Seriously.
Yeah, they had to dynamite an ice flow. Yeah,
because it just blocks everything up.
We measure things in Huntsville by what is called Beer Lake. There's a Brewers Retail that has a parking lot that floods every year, and that becomes known as Beer Lake.
Nice.
And this year, Beer Lake is as big as I've ever seen it. It's just incredible. And that, you know, that a lot of businesses are getting flooded. I mean, it's a serious thing.
But it's going to mean a great summer.
I hope so.
It's going to mean a great summer for those lakes.
For the lakes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Does this do anything to the mosquito population?
We'll have.
Does it make it worse? Or
it's going to. There's going to be a lot of mosquitoes. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But come on up.
Come on up anyway.
You know, we have trouble with bees. You know, we're losing bees. We're losing bats. Why can't we lose mosquitoes?
They just find a way to survive.
Wasn't there some story? I saw it on some news feed about the bumblebee, the plight of the bumblebee.
Well, they're coming back.
I don't even know what... What possible function do mosquitoes serve?
Well, they serve to irritate the shit out of people.
Food,
is what
they're food
do.
For
they're food for bats, and then bats, they lost bats.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
possible function do bats serve?
Hey, why are you bugging Tony?
Flying mammals.
Why?
Created a DC comic superhero. I don't know.
Hey, Bullard, get off Tony. He's got enough shit going on. He's not in charge of bats and mosquitoes. Okay, you got anything else? Because I think we should.
Oh, that's it.
Phil,
thanks
I think
for
we're
going to
wrap
by,
it up,
fellas.
Guys.
That's great. Thank you.
Awesome seeing everybody. Sean, say, everyone, we're going to shut down Twitch now. Okay. All right. Well, and this was what a day.
Right on.
What another day in our history. Thank you, boys. There we go. Thank you.